Well, it may not feel like it, because certainly we hear and know and experience a little bit of, or a lot, depending on your circumstances, financial stress and strain. But facts would tell us we are living in a time when we will experience the greatest generational transfer of wealth ever invested. We get to choose of ways to divest our money, whether it be through the Canadian Revenue Agency taking it, family, charity of choice. There are lots of things you will be called upon to decide as you get a little older and you look at how you divest yourself of your wealth if you have accumulated it. The Healthcare Foundation of St. John's is running an event on November 27th called From Success to Significance, Crafting Your Philanthropic Journey. The speaker for that event will be Mark Halpern. Mark is the CEO of WealthInsurance.com. He's a certified financial planner, trust and estate practitioner, master financial advisor in philanthropy. He's helped business owners, entrepreneurs, professionals, and affluent families for 32 years. And he's with us now. Mark, how are you doing today?
I am great, Tim. Thank you for that introduction. That beginning part sounded more like an introduction for a Halloween tale, you know? All that doom and gloom, you got me all nervous.
Sorry, buddy, but, you know, it's not just me. It's a lot, as we have seen in different elections, which we will not get you to comment on. People are worried about their immediate financial challenges, but you're looking forward a little bit. And the facts do bear out that there will be significant generational transfer of wealth. You're coming to talk about how to manage that. Lay out for some of the key points people should be thinking about as they look at their own circumstances and transferring wealth to whether it be their relatives, charity, or the wonderful Mark, wonderful Canadian Revenue Agency.
Well, the first thing is people have to take a pause and do some planning. You know, Tim, most people spend all their time, let's say, accumulating or spending, and they don't really sit down and do the planning to say, hey, do I have enough money to live on? Am I going to make it through my, you know, my retirement? What's my tax bill going to be now? What will it be, you know, after 100 years of age? And, you know, do I have a whole bunch of never spend money? Like, is there money I'm never going to spend that I'm just paying taxes on? And perhaps I can use some of that money to preserve my estate or do something really good for charity. And that really is a revelation for a lot of people because they haven't done that planning. And you don't have to be Bill Gates and Warren Buffett to be a philanthropist. You can be a regular civilian and be able to do a lot of good with money that would generally go to Ottawa.
Mark, I don't know what I did in life, but I spend a lot of time with tax planners and have come to learn a lot of different things. Let me try to ask about some of the things that I've learned that may be helpful to the audience you're speaking to now. So I think everybody at some level has heard of the notion of gifting. And gifting to children, gifting to charity. There's probably a lot of falsehoods around how it may be easier than you think to gift money while you're living to your children and families. Can you talk a little bit about, as it relates to planning, how gifting ought to be thought about?
Yeah, well, first of all, if somebody's giving cash, checks, or credit cards right now to charity, they should know that's the most in cost and tax inefficient way of giving. Mm-hmm. There's probably about 20 ways to give that are more efficient, and starting with that would be people have in their life, they have in their portfolios, they might have some stock or some mutual funds or ETFs and whatever, and they have gains in those stocks, right? So when they sell that stock, they're going to pay a capital gains tax, which used to be 50%. You know, but the capital gains tax rate went up in June to 2/3. So just as an example, if somebody has a gain of, let's just say, $100,000, you know, they're going to have to give $27,000 of that to government. or if it's held in a company, they're going to have to give $36,000 of that. That's the gain. But if you donate that stock in kind to a charity or to your own little donor advisor, you pay no capital gains taxes. So that's gone. And you get a charitable receipt for the full market value, which you can then use to mitigate up to 75% of your net taxable income each year. Which is, you know, it's all about planning. And we're in a perfect time right now, between now and December 31st, to be looking at that. One of the things, though, Tim, that you mentioned about family, another misunderstanding or misnomer is that people think that, you know, charity begins at home. And that's true. But giving to charity is not about disinheriting your children. It's about adopting charity that you care about, like the healthcare foundation, and disinheriting the tax department. You hear that? So you're not disinheriting your kids. You're inheriting, you're adopting charity and disinheriting tax.
Which is a thing that I think more of us would like to do. Revenue Canada, you're wonderful if you're listening. Don't audit me anymore, but we would like to help others in the process. Mark, what are some of the bigger early misconceptions people have before they hear from you or others who plan these philanthropic journeys?
Yeah, well, I think people have to say, like, what's really important to them? Like, what's meaningful? You know, what if they could give away $1 million to charity? Somebody gave you $1 million, Tim. I'll throw it at you. I'm giving you $1 million. You can give it away to any charity. What charities would you give it to?
You know, well, I better give it to the Healthcare Foundation first, or I'm going to be in trouble today.
One. You're right. We're going to both be canceled. Okay, if we don't do that, that's what they're. But imagine you could actually create $1 million gift, Tim, with an insurance policy, because insurance policies can be actually owned by charity, or a charity can be the beneficiary of an insurance
really?
Policy.
Really? I didn't realize that. Oh, interesting. Okay.
So if it's owned by the charity, then the premiums are considered charitable donations, and you get a receipt which saves you 50% on whatever the premium is, and you've created $1 million gift. Or you can leave a policy. Let's say your listeners have an old life insurance policy that wouldn't move the dial on their planning. They could actually make the healthcare foundation the beneficiary, in which case, upon death, that goes to the healthcare foundation, and you get a charitable receipt that helps you save. For every $2 you give to charity on death, you save $1 of tax. So imagine you're giving that policy to a charity, and now you're using that to mitigate the estate taxes. Because most people don't know that on death, charitable donations can be used to mitigate 100% of estate taxes, 100%, and going back the year prior as well. That means for every $2 you give to charity, you save $1 of tax.
Well, I'm not planning to step away from the planet anytime soon, but you're certainly helping me and many others today. So people may be listening saying, well, Mark and Tim are talking about $1 million. I don't have $1 million. So they may be pushed off from attending this event that's happening on the 27th of November from 12 to 2 at the Health Innovation and the Health Innovation and Acceleration Center at Pippi Place. But who should come and listen and learn from the presentation you're doing for the healthcare foundation?
Yeah, I would say ideally it should be people who are a little older, right? Where they've accumulated some money. Maybe they're sort of like 60 years of age plus, and they realize that the runway is getting shorter, and they haven't done some planning, and they have to have a desire to do good, you know, to do good for people. And then they have to have a desire to learn how they could become philanthropic just by converting taxes into charity. The other group that should really attend are people who are widowed or single or divorced. Why? Because they don't have a spouse to roll all their assets to on death, tax-free, which means that they're one incident away from a huge tax bill that they're not even aware of, and they could actually be very philanthropic to turn that tax into charity for the Healthcare Foundation or other charities that they care about. There's no obligation in terms of the charities when you come to this session, and you can just apply that learning and that wisdom to whatever you're passionate about when it comes to charity.
Well, I'd send my mother out there because she's widowed, but I don't know if you can handle her. She's a wild one, Mark. She's a wild one, and she dislikes. Don't audit us. Doesn't like the CRA any more than I do. But I'll spare you that. You'll have lots of characters there. It sounds like it'll be actually a very fascinating presentation. Thank you for joining us today, Mark, and you taught me something which I'm always glad to learn. Thank you.
With pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Tim. I really appreciate it.
All right. That was Mark Halpern. He is doing a session for the Healthcare Foundation of our Healthcare Foundation, Wednesday, November 27th, 12 to 2 at the Health and Innovation and Acceleration Center, 66 Pippi Place. Does sound like it'll be very interesting.